Coming up on Golf Today, it took an extra day, tons of drama, and one of the great putting performances of recent memory. But we finally crowned ourselves a Players' Champion. Cam Smith bags his biggest win to date. We'll dive into the numbers and the flat stick. And this week, the 17th at TPC Sawgrass made a case for the best hole in all of professional golf. We had some brilliance. What up, Shane Lowry? We had some misery, as you can see there with Brooks Koepka. And we had everything in between. We'll kick off some island talk on a Tuesday. And it'll be Henrik Stenson, the five-time Ryder Cupper, is the captain of the Europeans next year in Italy. The announcement made today, which means the wraparound god will hop on the show to talk about the honor, the process, and how quickly the planning for next year begins. Long week, and we're ready to go again. It's Golf Today time.
Golf Today, brought to you by PointsBet.
Folks, it took a minute, but 28-year-old Cam Smith is your 2022 Players Champion, making 10 birdies in the final round, one putting eight of his final nine holes for a final round 6-under-66 and a one-shot victory. TPC Sawgrass had everything but locusts last week. First round took 54 hours and 16 minutes to complete, 29 water balls on 17 on Saturday, nearly 5 inches torrential rainfall throughout the tournament. High temp of 72, comfortable on that Thursday. And of course, that low of 36 on Sunday. First Monday finish at the Players since 2005. And ladies and gentlemen, it was definitely worth it. Welcome to Studio 7, Damon Hack, alongside Shane Bacon. Buddy, we were there for quite a bit of the championship. I still got goosebumps. It was a bit of a slog to get there, but I thought that the final couple of days, the tension, the storyline, the shot-making was fantastic.
I can't believe that the opening round was only 54 hours. It felt a lot longer, I think, to a lot of us than just 54 hours. You know, the Players delivers. It delivers each and every year. It's exciting. It's fun. You think of the last few champions we've had there and just the drama down the stretch. You know 17 looms. You know 18 looms. You know Players have an opportunity to make an eagle or a birdie there at the 16th. You think about that Saturday and how much fun it was to just simply sit around and watch golf and just experience all that craziness that was. It was everything you'd hope for and more in a championship. There's a lot of talk about, is the Players' Championship a major? And to me, the Players' Championship is the Players' Championship, and that is good enough. It is as exciting an event as we have in golf, and I loved every minute of it, D. I couldn't get enough of it.
I was driving to work this morning. I'm like, why do I love this championship so much? Because you can have a Justin Thomas win last year, one of the longest hitters in the game. You can have a Cam Smith who has short game magic. Kevin Kisner, you see him work his way around the golf course. Rory McIlroy won this, of course, back in 2019. Every style of play is welcome at this golf course if you're hitting your ball well, if you're doing your thing. Whatever you do well can be emphasized and appreciated at TPC Sawgrass.
You know what plays at just about every golf course in the world? One putting almost every green, and that seemed like what we saw.
Let's hear from the champ.
I feel as though I'm playing the best that I've ever played. It's kind of weird to think like that, being kind of the last probably 3 or 4 years, being the guy that kind of goes from 20th to 40th in the world rankings, and then all of a sudden to be 6th is kind of weird. But I feel as though I've put in the work, and I feel as though I've done a lot of work on my body, and I've put in the time. So, it's nice to see all that stuff paying off.
And a lot of times when players win this tournament, they have to go off to the next event or fly home. But you are home, so how are you going to celebrate this one?
Sleep. I feel like I haven't slept in 5 or 6 days. It's obviously been a long week. I'm sure there'll be a few beers around the fire tonight, but I can't wait for a good sleep.
And a look at how Cam Smith did for the week. 24 birdies, that was the most in the field. No doubles, very, very important in Sawgrass considering the weather and the conditions. That tied for first in the field. You see, plus 11.52 strokes gained putting. That led, as did 42 one putts, the most in the field. Indeed, to me, this made me think back to 2004, the U.S. Open at Shinnecock. If you remember Retief Goosen in that final round, 24 putts, 11 total putts on the back nine. One putt at his final six holes. Cam on Monday, 24 total putts, 10 on the back nine. It seemed like he was one putting every hole. The only hole he didn't one putt, if you remember, was the par 5 16th.
Yeah.
And that nearly went in. I mean, he nearly made, what, a 50-footer there for all one putts on the back.
Two things come to mind for me. One is the resourcefulness of this player, who's not hitting it all that great off of the
right.
tee, but finding a way to minimize the damage and to get that ball in the hole, to put a number on the card by hook or by crook. I love the short game, but also not just the resourcefulness of this player, but how different this victory was compared to the one he had at the Century Tournament of Champions. That was a sprint on Maui, 34 under par. This was a slugfest at TPC Sawgrass. So look at this. So he wins the winning score, minus 34 versus minus 13. But look at his strokes gained off the tee at the Century Tournament of Champions compared to the players. He was first in strokes gained off the tee at the Century. He was 68th out of 70 of the players who made the cut. But his strokes gained putting, first at both venues. But for him to be able to win a golf tournament where everyone's making birdies, but also win a golf tournament when everybody is holding on, that tells me a lot about this player who is now firmly entrenched in the top 10.
The one putts were going dead center. I mean, that was my takeaway, is it felt like it was inevitable. It felt like the par saves were inevitable. They weren't going to miss. He was so comfortable, and there was no real celebration. I mean, think about the shot, and I'll call it the save there at the 16th from 244 to find the green. Wasn't a lot of celebration there. Take it on 17, and as you mentioned, potentially pushed that tee shot a little right of where he wanted. But there wasn't a lot of celebration. It just felt very inevitable for a guy that feels very comfortable in his own skin. I mean, this is a guy now with two victories, and I love the point here. You're winning in two totally different ways.
Yeah.
We've talked a lot about golf being easy for the professional golfer this year, and this is something you've been talking about for the past year, how easy it must seem at times for the pro golfer to win two completely different ways. When you're striking the ball, two completely different ways, totally in command of your driver in Hawaii and totally lost here. You're talking about a guy that can do it in different ways, and now you're thinking about what's upcoming in terms of the golf schedule, golf courses he's comfortable on, he's played well on. This is a guy that, to me, feels like he's just getting going in 2022.
28 years old. The way he was driving the golf ball at Ponte Vedra Beach reminded me of how he was driving the golf ball at the Masters in November of 2020, where he had four rounds in the 60s. He was hitting it everywhere, spraying it, but he kept finding a way to save par and keep rounds together. And Dustin Johnson, of course, ran away with that green jacket, but Cameron Smith was in the frame. And you have to wonder what's next for this player. You're seeing on Twitter a lot of the Australian golf writers kind of writing where he fits among the great Australian athletes right now, Ash Barty being number one, the fantastic tennis player. But here's Cam Smith working his way up in the conversation of the best Aussie athletes on the planet right now.
And again, going to Augusta National, three top tens in his last four starts there. Can I critique something from our champion? Is that a thing I can do here?
Allowed?
Can I critique, just slightly critique something? I was really surprised by the decision there on the 18th tee. And I know he went on to win, and I know he hit that great wedge shot that we showed there at the 18th. But this is a guy that had really struggled on 18 throughout the week. He hit the ball in the water twice on the 18th to date. He'd come off the snap hook there at the 16th that we showed. Now, I didn't want a three wood.
Yeah.
I didn't want a head cover at all. I was thinking iron. If I take it back to 2012, the 18T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, if you remember, it was Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Tony Romo was involved as well. And Phil Mickelson ran away with that golf tournament. He shot 64 in the final round, got to the 18th tee. And that hole, I'd say, is similar in a way to Sawgrass. Left is no good, but right's no good either. And Phil Mickelson hit 4-iron off the tee. He said, I am taking everything out of play. And I was kind of pushing for an iron off the tee there for Cam Smith as well, because 5 seemed like it was going to win the golf tournament. Now, people could argue that Lahiri could have caught him, and that was true. The thing is, nobody had birdied 17 and 18 the entire day. Not a single player had done that. Only 6 birdies on the 18th. And I think a lot about the analytics in football when I think about what I'm talking about with Cam Smith here at the 18th. Analytically, at times, you get asked and told things to do. You're up by 3, it's 4th-and-1, you should go for it. But I always think you got to look across the field. Who's the quarterback? How's your defense? Do you have the 2000 Ravens as a defense? Then maybe you punt. You know, is it Tom Brady across the field? Maybe you go for it. Is it Kirk Cousins? Maybe you punt. Maybe he's not a guy that's as clutch as a Tom Brady. You've got the best defense in golf, at your back if you're Cam Smith. That's 17 and 18, right?
Yeah.
You've got a great defense there. You've got a guy chasing you that is, in theory, not Tom Brady. It's not Justin Thomas. It's not John Rahm. It's a guy playing great golf, but again, someone not comfortable in those situations. I just thought it would have been a nice time to maybe go 7-iron, 7-iron wedge, considering how good the wedge and the short game had been.
I'll take the counterpoint argument. He'd hit it in the water twice
earlier
in the week and made five both times.
From crazy spots, by the way.
Crazy spots. And I think that's the strength of his game. He feels like he can get that ball as far down that hole as possible. He's going to find a way to make five. That's how good his wedge game was this past week. That's how good his putter was leading the field in strokes gained putting. I understand your point. I don't think he's thinking about, okay, who it is that's chasing me at this point. I think he's playing golf the way he plays. But I was with you then thinking, wait, what are you doing chipping the ball? Just like Keegan Bradley. He said he caught it too flush and the ball went farther. And what do you know? Three balls in the water on that hole and he makes five every single time.
In different ways.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing with the punch out and going in the water there is all of a sudden six is a real possibility.
Yeah.
And if you make six, now you could lose the golf tournament in regulation.
Yeah.
I mean, Leary had, 9-iron in for his second shot after hitting a great tee shot there. You could, in theory, lose it there. I just, decision-making going ahead, going forward, when these situations arise, I'm going to be thinking about this moment because this time it worked.
Mm.
But at times it might not. And also, I'm reminded each and every year, I think I forget this when we get around to the players, right on 18 is brutal. Right on 18 is nothing fun to deal with. And if you can somehow find the fairway, Paul Casey kind of necked a three-wood there. Does not matter. As long as it's in the fairway there at 18, you're in such a better position. Yeah. Doesn't matter what club you hit off the tee.
Right is horrible. Left is no picnic either.
You don't want to go left.
As we know, you mentioned the Masters. How about the updated odds presented by our friends at PointsBet Sportsbook? You see the Players champ at plus 1,400. I'd seen him at plus 1,800 earlier before the Players Championship. John Rahm, though, he's like immovable. We can't kick him off that top spot.
We'll probably talk about John Rahm here in just a little bit. Some ups and downs from John Rahm at the Players. Well, big news today. Henrik Stenson named the European Ryder Cup captain for next year in Italy. Henrik's going to jump on the phone and chat with us about it.
Nice man.
Yeah, he's going to come on. Back on golf today, we got breaking news on it. It's Tuesday, right?
Today's Tuesday.
That's right. Henrik Stenson's been named the European Ryder Cup captain for 2023 in Rome, Italy. The 2016 Open champion helped lead Europe to victory in three of five of his appearances as a player before serving as an assistant captain in 2020. The 45-year-old becomes the first Swede to be named European captain.
You mentioned those five appearances as a player. Three of those victories, 06, 2014, and 2018, was an assistant captain last year for Padraig Harrington. Overall playing record of 10, 7, and 2. And we are joined now by the new European Ryder Cup captain. Henrik, congratulations, first of all. You've checked a lot of important boxes in this game. Major champ, players champ, Ryder Cup player. You've won the season-long races on both big tours. What was your first reaction to being named the European Ryder Cup captain?
Yeah, it's I'm very humbled and very proud to have been given this role. You know, just going back to as a kid thinking about playing in the Ryder Cup, and then we managed to achieve that, and now we're sitting here as the captain. So it's fantastic.
Henrik, what is the number one role of a good Ryder Cup captain?
I think being there for the players. I want to be a players' captain. Make sure that they really feel that, and they can contact me at any time with any matter. And then we're going to try and assemble the absolute strongest. We will assemble the strongest team that we can for the matches in Rome. And we're all very hungry to win back the cup that we lost last year.
Well, things did not go well in Wisconsin, as you know, for Europe. How much was that just a tough week for the Europeans and a great week for the Americans versus having to reboot the system or check for bugs or trying to fix the team?
Yeah, I think a combination of things. The U.S. team was very strong and they played very well. Our team was also good, but we didn't maybe come up to the standard that we wanted to. The stats kind of tell us that. And going forward, we're going to have to both look at the new talent that we have in Europe and see
which ones of the more experienced and older players that are going to be about. So it's it could be a case of a little bit of a transformation on our side. But as you all know, once you pull that jersey on and played for Europe, you don't want to take it off and give it to somebody else. I'm pretty sure my older and more experienced players, they don't want to give that up. So it's going to be an interesting journey to follow throughout the qualification process. And there was a debrief after the matches at Whistling Straits that involved players, caddies, and everyone else around the team. So we'll take the feedback from that and come back even stronger.
Henrik, now that you're the captain, how quick into this do you start the necessary planning, pairing guys together in random tournaments that don't know a lot about each other, thinking about the golf courses, things of that nature?
Yeah, I think we got time. There's a slightly different timeline between the American qualification process. Ours is starting a little bit later, so we got time to figure those things out. And for me, it will be about getting to know some of the players that I don't know that well, and for them to know some of the other players that potentially will be on the team as well. So we got time on our hands, and of course the planning will start as of today. I played the Italian Open at Marco di Simone last September, so I really feel like that was helpful now, given the situation I'm in, to play the golf course and know what awaits us for 23.
Speaking of play, these days, 45, still an age where you can compete and win around the world. How will you balance preparing to captain with maybe, just maybe, playing well enough to make your own team?
Well, if it's 55, that's the mark, I got no chance, because I'm turning 46 in about 3 weeks. But I'm still very much involved in the game, as you know, and working hard on my game at the moment to try and get it back to form. And wouldn't it be that be something if I get going during the qualification process to make a few of the guys sweat a little bit extra. But we'll see on that end. And I'm just really excited for the journey ahead.
Well, your counterpart, Zach Johnson, is an absolute novice when it comes to Italian wine. I mean, he's a 30 handicap. What plans do you have to mix in some great Italian wine dinners into the run-up? And I'm here to help if you need some help.
Yeah, you want to be there for the testing, do you? I'm sure I can. We got expertise on our end. I'm sure Miguel Jimenez is only a phone call away, so I will know everything I need to know about Italian wines when it comes to that. It's going to be fun. It's a new chapter and a new experience, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Henrik, have you thought about, considering the way Cam Smith just played, about maybe asking him for dual citizenship, or see if he could maybe, play for Europe as well as potentially playing on the President's Cup?
Yeah, absolutely. I had the Swedish embassy reach out, and we're in big contacts there. So we'll see how that ends. No, congratulations to Cameron on that win. That was phenomenal golfing.
Yeah, joining you as a players champion. Well, Henrik, it's been fun to watch you play. It's going to be fun to watch you captain as well. Congratulations on this huge honor. We'll speak to you soon.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Henrik Stenson, the man to lead Team Europe. And I tell you what, it's been a lot of gravy for Team Europe in Europe. The last U.S. win coming in 1993 on the road. So America's going to try to change that. Henrik Stenson going to try to keep the ball rolling for Europe. And this is a player, Shane, who has seen the bottom of this game. Someone who I think has earned a lot of respect from the European players, as someone who has seen the height of this game, also battled driver yips and put his game back together to become one of the best of his era.
Sounds a lot like Steve Stricker, doesn't it? Mm. I mean, when you think about players that have been unbelievable captains, Steve Stricker, a great captain for Team USA, who has seen a lot of things, seen the good, the bad, and the otherwise in terms of being a professional golfer. When you think about a captain, what do you want? You want somebody that can lead. Henrik Stenson can lead. You want somebody that can joke. Henrik Stenson, one of the sneaky, funny guys out there in professional golf. You want someone that has a ton of accomplishments, and that's what Henrik Stenson's done. He knows what it's like standing on the 18th tee in the biggest of moments and pulling off those types of golf shots. And you want somebody that knows how to win in a Ryder Cup. This is a guy that not only has won on the team side of things, but has a winning record individually. I have a question for you, kind of off of the Ryder Cup things in terms of Henrik Stenson. Are we talking about Henrik Stenson, the Hall of Fame golfer, at some point when you look at his career accolades? When you were listing those off, I was surprised as you kept going. You almost forgot how great this guy's been.
Yeah, he has a major, the Open, where he shot a final round 63 to hold off Phil Mickelson. So you've got that. You've got the Players' Championship. He won on a very difficult Sunday at TPC Sawgrass. He has the FedEx Cup title. He's won the Race to Dubai. He is a world-class player who's played on 5 Ryder Cup teams. And now this is another feather in the cap. I do think that when all is said and done, we're talking about someone who maybe hit the 3-wood as well as anybody over the last 20 years. And because of that major championship that he won at Troon, the way he did, how he played on that Sunday, and having the Players, and winning 2 season-long races on the 2 biggest tours on the globe, I think he's in. Do you?
Absolutely. I agree with you. If that 3-wood doesn't make it in the locker at his Hall of Fame, I don't know what we're even doing here. I mentioned in that read, kind of introing Henrik there as the captain, is the first Swede captain here. And I think that's very, very important. You know, the European Ryder Cup team is going through a transition right now. It was dominated a lot by Spanish golfers and a lot like golfers from England. And you're going to start to see some more Scandinavian players make these teams. You got the Hogard boys. You've obviously got Victor Hovland, you know, Noren, Kinholt, Broberg. There are a lot of these players that could potentially play themselves on this team. And I feel like, if nothing else, it's a comfort to have Henrik Stenson as your captain, considering how this European team's not just going to change for 2023, but 2025 and beyond. It's going to look different than, I'd say, what we've seen in terms of a traditional Ryder Cup team on the European side.
Mentioned the resume also has that kind of that characteristic of not being someone who will panic with the nickname of the Iceman. Well, our Jaime Diaz is here. He was with us, by the way, at the Players Championship. Now he's here. Great to see you in studio, buddy. You've covered Henrik Stenson for a long time. Your thoughts of Henrik as captain?
Well, I think he engenders a tremendous amount of respect because of what he's been through. That you mentioned the driver yips. That was really almost a career ender. He did bring it back after a few years with Pete Cowan, but he almost left the tour completely. And, you know, to come back from that, just like Steve Stricker did, the players know what that takes. And when you have that kind of grit, that's a good leader. The other thing is he had a real financial crisis with the Stanford Investments. Alan Stanford went to prison for a Ponzi scheme that, unfortunately, Henrik lost about $8 million. And he talked about it, how tough that was, what a loop it threw him for, and his family as well. And he came back from that and won the FedEx Cup and won the Race to Dubai and, of course, played incredibly at Troon to win that Open Championship and really recovered beautifully from something that could have been even more devastating than a golf problem. This was a life problem. So, you know, he has a certain amount of panache about his life, and I think the way he handles himself, his humor, the way he is in front of people as a front man, he'll be a great representative for the Ryder Cup. I just think he makes a lot of sense in so many ways, and I think he's going to embrace this because it is, you know, the time now where legacy, you start talking about legacy, and this is one of the missing pieces. Being a Ryder Cup captain, especially for a European, that's almost the ultimate.
Jaime, when you think about successful Ryder Cup captains right now, modern-day successful Ryder Cup captains, it sure seems that it works well when you've got someone there captaining you that you've played with, that you understand, that you've seen out on the golf course, that you've competed against. It feels like the modern player now captain is the way to go.
I think that's right, and I think because the game's changed so much, when you have an older player who stayed contemporary, there's more respect, there's more of a bond, it's more relatable, and then you start seeing the younger players listen to them more because they do have a reservoir of knowledge and a reservoir of experience that they might be curious about. But if it's just a guy who's from a different era who doesn't relate to them, that creates, I think, a schism sometimes. So Henrik, you know, checks both those boxes. He can still play with those guys. I mean, when he won at Troon, I don't think there's been a better iron player in terms of just hitting the ball solid with authority over and over again in a major championship. That was incredible, you know, ball striking that I think any young player would respect. But also the way that he relates as a kind of youthful presence with his sensibility. He's got, you know, just a nice manner about him that he doesn't, you know, try to go, you know, hey, you guys, you don't know how good we were and all that. He lives in the present, and I think he's funny. He can tell stories, all those things. And like you said, he can hit the ball with them. I mean, they envy his irons, and he probably hits 3-wood farther than they do, and he still. So, you know, Henrik's got, I think, something that is hard to find, but he lives in both worlds, the old school and the new school.
So, Jaime, now we know both captains, Zach Johnson for the Americans, Henrik Stenson for the Europeans. How do you think this chess match will unfold from a tactical standpoint?
Well, right now, I think Zach Johnson has the strength and can kind of stand pat. I mean, what happened at Whistling Straits is something you want to continue. Henrik, on the other hand, could be transformational. You talk about those Hogarth twins. I mean, Europe has not mined the young players yet, and I think that's what Henrik is going to do. I think they need an extra element, more talent, more speed, more youth, more of a power game probably to hang with the Americans. Perhaps the Italian course will be set up like the French, you know, National in France, but still, I think the Europeans are aging out, and the experience is great, but at some point you get overpowered, and I think Europe's going to try to get more powerful and young.
He hates when I say this. The great, great
Jaime
Diaz with a great, great sweater. We appreciate the time. That has been a busy man this past week. Great stuff on Henrik Stenson. Well, coming up, winners that didn't win. You get one trophy at the Players, but you can have a great week, walk away with a lot of money and prestige and moments. That's next.
Cam Smith takes home the trophy, the biggest win of his career. Do you have somebody else that, you know, had a great week without winning the championship?
I figured someone was going to go with Lahiri, so I just wanted to go somewhere different. I'm going to go with Doug Gim. You know, this is his second Players Championship.
Yeah.
He shot par better in 7 of his 8 rounds. You remember last year, he was right in the hunt. He was 3 back of Lee Westwood going to that final round, and he really, really struggled. Comes back the next year and finishes in a tie for 6th. 28% of Doug Gim's career earnings have come in his 2 starts at the Players' Championship. He likes this golf course when not a lot of people can figure it out. He's played really well at Sawgrass. When, again, consistency is not in the cards for so many players, even the best in the world. We know Doug Gim is one of those players that has the pedigree and the talent to be great and to win on the PGA Tour. Nice to see him at least playing well in two weeks at a golf course that matters and a golf tournament that can pay out the way it does.
I actually talked to Doug Gim on Tuesday on 17T, and I was like, hey, man, how are you dealing with the pressure and all the forecasts and the weather that's coming in? He was like, hey, man, this is a great week. There's no pro-am this week. He had the right perspective.
Love that attitude.
And attitude. It was so cool. He let a buddy of his, not just a caddy, but a buddy of his, hit a tee shot on 17 that was walking in the group on that Tuesday. He was so relaxed and so joyful. No wonder he plays so well on a very, very stressful golf course.
I mean, think about where he's played well at before.
Yeah.
Contends and nearly wins the U.S. Amateur at Riviera, for goodness sakes. I mean, talk about one of the really tough golf courses out there. So I went Doug Gim. Where are you going?
I did go Anirban Lahiri. I was
somebody
with someone who was going
to. Somebody had to.
Yeah, this is a player who talked about it beautifully in that sound right there, saying, I've been playing horribly the last couple of years. But he also had a pre-tournament press conference where he was asked about the state of his game. He said, it's only 1 week. It could be 1 week where all of a sudden you're playing at Augusta, or all of a sudden you have that 2 to 3 year exemption, or all of a sudden you are a Players Champion. That did not happen for him this week, but now he has somewhere in the mid-300s in FedEx Cup points. It was 420 or so last year for Chesson Hadley in that 125 spot. So if he can just kind of keep the ball on the planet over the next few months, he has his card for next year. But I just loved his attitude and his perspective. And I think that's a part of this in this era of Victor Hovland, who just seems so joyful and positive. I think that's an important 15th club to have. I think Doug Gim has it. I think Anirban Lahiri has it as well.
There were some real positive reactions to players that didn't get it done.
Yeah.
You think about Paul Casey and the way he talked about it after the round, about the break there at the 16th. He said, you know, this is kind of golf. It's a bad break. I went up there and tried to figure out the best way to make a birdie. Of course, he wasn't able to make 4 there. But again, if that ball rolls anywhere else there, he has a great chance to potentially make a 3. And this whole show could be different. One simple break, the attitude has to be there. You think about one of the great stories of the year in Sahith Theegala at the WM Phoenix Open, and the way he took that loss and the way he kind of gained fans and everybody kind of rooting on for a guy that wasn't able to close it out. Lahiri speaks to my soul the way he talks about professional golf, because we're going to sit here and talk most of the time about the consistent players, the best in the world, the guys that have a bad week and finish in a tie for 8th. The reason golf is such a special sport is because you can have weeks like this where you're not playing great and things aren't clicking, and all of a sudden you find one small thing and all of it works out in your favor and you're getting yourself a contention at great tournaments. This is why I chase the dream of making a U.S. Open, because what happens if I catch fire one day and I get into a qualifier and I go out there and shoot even the first round, and who knows what happens in the afternoon? This is why so many people continue to chase this dream of golf, because we all know we've done it before and we hope we can find it again. And for Lahiri, I hope this builds more and more, because we've seen how good he can be.
And what a week to do it. The flagship event of the PGA Tour.
Nice week for money.
week where Tiger's into the Hall of Fame and Tim Fincham and Marion Hall. It's just a neat week for it to happen at an event that I think continues to grow in terms of prestige.
You know, I love a scorecard. And you know, I love a good psycho scorecard. But you know, I kind of keep my eye on all scorecards and their happenings. How about a cycle scorecard?
You're
a baseball guy, right?
I
love when people hit for the cycle. It's
very
one of
rare.
My favorite things.
Very
so
rare.
Russell Henley, who started on the 10th, if you remember in this final run, made double bogey on the 10th, and then makes a double eagle or an albatross or a super eagle or whatever you want to call it on 11. So he's got the double bogey and he's got the double eagle. Now he makes birdie on 17, so he's got the birdie. Well, he makes an eagle on 2. So now you're adding an eagle. So now I am unfortunately rooting for a bogey from Russell Henley. Now, I don't want to root for bogeys for any player out there in professional golf, but we got the bogey on the 6th. Of course, you see the par sprinkled in there as well. So you count them all up, you get a double eagle, you get an eagle. You get a birdie, a par, a bogey, and a double bogey.
Did he need a triple bogey also?
A lot of people are saying the symmetry. If you're talking symmetry, that would have helped as well. All-time albatrosses at the player since 1983. Henley adding his name. Harris English back in 2019. I watched the highlight of the Cabrera Bayo one on 16. Remember kicking off that back hill and going in. Hunter Mahan as well in 07. And this isn't the only time this has happened.
Yeah.
Daniel Chopra, if you remember back in 2008. You do not remember this unless you are Kevin Casey or someone else of the ilk. 2008, Shriners Children's Hospital, second round, a double eagle, an eagle, a double bogey, a par, a birdie. It's happened before, but it is very rare.
Are you a double eagle guy or albatross guy?
I think I say double eagle more.
See, I've been to the U.K. quite a bit. I say albatross more.
Okay,
yeah,
it's fair.
That's all right.
I understand why double eagle doesn't make sense. I'm with Solly and Nolan up of triple birdie. I think triple birdie's a good play.
Whatever it is, it's a great shot.
It's great.
Call it what you want. Speaking of great, Cam Smith, great player. Trevor Immelman will have him on his President's Cup team. He'll join us coming up. Up, it's the major championship portion of the program. Oh, captain, my captain, Trevor Immelman, international captain of the President's Cup, joins us to talk about Cam Smith and a team that looks strong to quite strong. And a three-time major champ, Padraig Harrington, the most recent European Ryder Cup captain, joins us to talk about Henrik Stenson, the Iceman leading Europe in Italy. That is coming up right here on Golf Today.
Golf Today, brought to you by PointsBet.
It is Golf Today, second hour on a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. It feels like a Monday, reacting to a great championship in the Players. A lot of fun to watch yesterday. A lot of fun to watch all week. And I don't know what your situation was like on Saturday. I was glued. I was just glued. I couldn't get away from it with the winds up and just the cameras going back and forth to 17 in the action.
Just so much unknown. So much volatility. You know, we had our own Brandel Chambly saying that 17 needs to be altered a little bit. I couldn't disagree more, actually. I love 17 and the volatility, even in the wind. Even if some of the best players of this era were having trouble finding the land. I just thought for so much of the week, we had no idea how this golf tournament would end. There was just no kind of storyline to hold on to. The storyline was chaos.
Chaos indeed, and I'm with you on the 17th. I mean, we had one day of it really wrecking havoc, and even at that point, there was something like 21% of the players found the water. I mean, that's one-fifth of the field finding water on a hole. We saw players that could navigate the conditions, and that was what was so special about the day, because we've seen it when it's so hard, nobody can play well. You heard players, you know, criticizing Bay Hill last week when they were talking about the golf course not rewarding a good golf shot. This was a place that did.
Yeah.
This was a place where Justin Thomas and Bubba Watson played bogey-free rounds of golf. They went about it a different way. Everything in terms of stock yardage went out the window. And when you look ahead to these championship coming forward, and you look at the old course at St. Andrews, and you kind of look at the way Justin Thomas has played in Opens, no top 10s. He does have a T11th back in 2019. What was similar to 2019 at the Open, it was similar to the players in 2022, conditions. It was windy. It was tough. It was asking so many questions of players to hit different types of golf shots. It was so fun to watch. These players have to figure out things that they don't typically have to figure out.
Rory went 63-80 at the Old Course because of the conditions, and I'm okay with that. We're not going to start changing the holes at St. Andrews because the day gets a little bit crazy for the best players in the world. TPC Sawgrass gave us everything we wanted this past week.
The players delivered.
Yeah.
The players truly delivered. It was so much fun to watch. It was confusing at times to watch, considering how much start and stopping we had. Of course, the winner, Cam Smith. But we didn't know where the cut line was going to be. We didn't know when the cut was going to happen at times. You didn't know what round it was, what day it was. So it's probably worth a visit to On the Number to look at some of the players that didn't make it on the number and were able to have some fun on the weekend.
Yeah, you see that +2 number and some of the players who very happy to make it into those final couple of rounds. Nick Watney had a huge par putt to make it into the weekend. You see Rory McIlroy and kind of a mixed bag. If you're a Rory fan, you don't really like the fact that he was not in the conversation on the leaderboard. Scott Stallings, I saw him on the tee on Tuesday. Said, "Hey, man, Sepp Straka won." You know, I said, "Scotty Scheffler won."
Nice.
So a player in SS. I said, "You're going to win the players." And he said, "Some deep analysis there, Damon."
Well, I mean, that's 65, though. I mean, again, this is why we do On the Numbers.
Yes. Yeah.
Players had that opportunity to go out there and do something special, considering the FedEx Cup points, considering the amount of money up for grabs. You know, one of the reasons that we do On the Numbers is because of Max Homa. I mean, because Max Homa used to bring this up on the Get a Grip podcast that we did together. Max Homa is a guy that made it in at +1. The cut was +2. So he gets in by a shot. And this is a guy that moved up the leaderboard over those final two rounds, shot 71 in that third round and shot 66 in the final round on the other side of the golf course and nearly got into the top 10 on the leaderboard. These are important things for players that are having great seasons. Max already with a victory, but when you look at the way he has played at some of these tough golf courses, he's continually finishing in the top 15 and 20 on the leaderboard. And again, not really where he wants to be. He was on the wrong side of the draw, if you will, considering the conditions through those first two rounds. But he made something out of nothing after he got into the quote-unquote weekend. Of course, it was a Sunday and Monday finish, but he got into the weekend.
Yeah.
And he played a great final round. And all of a sudden, you make a ton of money by that. It changes your year.
With the money available, with the FedEx Cup points available this week, just making it into the final two rounds was huge. And Scott Stallings was one of those players who didn't just make it on the number. Then he went out and shot 65.
Yes.
And he was all of a sudden in the mix to win the most important event on the PGA Tour. And this is someone who, you know, could have been trunk slamming. Instead, he had a chance to win the golf. He shot 75 in the final round, unfortunately. But there's always something to play for. But especially a week like this week, where everything is heightened. The golf course is so difficult. The prize is so rich. $3.6 million for the winner, $20 million purse overall. And you see that final round, round two for Sky shot 75 in the final round as well. But this is someone who, for a long time, looked like he had no chance. He shoots that 65 in the third round, and he's right back in the mix.
It's really important to make cuts in professional golf. And I know it's a silly thing to throw out there, but to make these cuts in championships, they tell you that things are going the right way. I mean, for a middling professional golfer, somebody trying to find something, making it to the weekend at the Players and at major championships and WGC events, Riviera, Bay Hill, these types of places that are elevated. They're bigger events. They've got tougher fields. You know who you're playing against. You know what that field is going to look like. It's so important to do it. I mean, we talk about Lahiri and that great week he had.
Yeah.
He didn't win, but he's going to take so much away from a second place finish. And a lot of players take a lot away from, I made a birdie on the last hole. I played the back nine and even par in tough conditions. And that got me to a paycheck. And it got me to very, very important FedEx Cup points at one of the biggest events of the year. So On the Number, important most weeks, very important to players.
A lot of winners, a lot of people smiling on this Tuesday. Maybe nobody smiling more. Maybe Cam Smith. How about the International President's Cup
captain? Trevor's always smiling.
Trevor Immelman, always in a good mood. But seeing Cam Smith play so well, Anirban Lahiri, the international team, going from strength to strength. We visit with T.I. coming up.
It was a great week at the Players. Cam Smith, just electric. He made 10 birdies in the final round.
I mean, 8 of 9 one putts coming home.
And I've said it, and I'll say it again, nearly 9 out of 9. The putt on 16 just about went. 5 feet out, I thought it was going.
I mean, just neat to see a player, you know, go from 34 under winning
so
on
cool.
Maui to 13 under winning at TPC Sawgrass. And you look at the international season, these hopefuls to win. I mean, Sung J.M., Joaquin Niemann, Lucas Herbert, Hideki. I mean, you know, if we're waiting for a little bit of competition, I think we're starting to see it between the U.S. and the international.
I know who took a screenshot of that graphic, and that is Trevor Immelman. That is something he wants to send out to his team, as he should. Exciting stuff as we get closer and closer to Quail Hollow. Trevor, Stars and Cars Edition joins us now. And, Trevor, we've shown a lot of the Cam Smith experience today on Golf Today from the players. When's the last time you saw somebody that confident on the greens?
Man, it had been a little while, Shane. Nice to join you guys. Yeah, it was such an impressive performance from him with the flat stick. And what was that, like 10 putts in the final nine holes with all that pressure and money and FedEx Cup points and all that stuff going on, world rankings. Just kept brushing those putts in with perfect speed. Really, really impressive performance from him there yesterday. Kind of unflappable. No matter what happened and how things transpired, the dude just stayed so calm the whole day.
Trevor, your team is not set yet, but what are your thoughts on how the international team is at least shaping up? Are you smiling and happy? Are you concerned and nervous? Kind of what's your mindset at this point on this Tuesday?
Well, look, you guys know me. I'm always a little concerned and nervous, and that's just part of the gig. I'm making sure that, you know, everything is taken care of for these guys and that things are moving in the right direction from a team standpoint. But I got to say, with what they are producing on the golf course, I'm extremely proud of the way that they've gone about managing their games and continuing to improve. You know, you look at 2019 when we had seven rookies on that team of 12 down in Melbourne. You know, those youngsters have really stepped up to the plate and are starting to win tournaments, win the biggest tournaments now. You guys had a cool graphic there of all those wins. And so, you know, that's what we're hoping to build on. It's still a gigantic in front of all of us to be able to beat this incredible American team. But I really am happy with how these guys are starting to step up in the biggest events.
Trevor, the way you've observed Cam Smith this season, with the way he was able to roll the rock over the weekend at the Players, and as we transition to Augusta National, this guy has to be one of the favorites on your list as we get closer and closer to the Masters, I assume.
Are you talking about for our team or for the Masters?
For the Masters and Cam, just as we get closer and closer, three top tens in his last four starts. I mean, you know the golf course as well as anybody. I feel like he's got to be somebody we're circling for the Masters next month.
That's a great call. And, you know, he's played well there before, having that second back in 2020 when DJ won the green jacket. So he knows how to play well around there. He knows what it takes. Australians have had a pretty good record around there. You know, not too many winners, but a bunch of Australians really coming close down the stretch. So they like that kind of golf. They like firm, fast conditions. They like when the ball is running a lot, where they can use their imagination and those incredible short games that all of them seem to have. So I'd say he's a pretty good bet. You know, the other reason, Shane, is that mentally, seem to get too riled up. He has an amazing work ethic, but he also has an amazing balance to his life to where I don't think he's going to take all of this too seriously. I think he's going to take it in his stride and just keep doing what he's doing. And, you know, I think he's going to be a force to be reckoned with. Because once this guy gets the bit between his teeth, we all saw yesterday just how he can step up to the plate in the biggest moments. He does not shy away from the pressure at all.
Trevor, if you played professional golf at the highest level, at some point you've had to overcome some struggle, some dark days. What should we know about Anirban Lahiri? He was played on two President's Cup teams, 15 and 17, and now aiming for a third team.
Well, look, he's got some toughness as well. For most of us who grew up all over the world, dreaming of coming to play in the U.S. and play on the PGA Tour, for the most part, all of us have had to, you know, rebuild a life in another country. And that takes a lot of guts and determination as well. Coming over here on your own a lot of times and trying to find a way to pursue your dream. And so all of us have a little bit of that chip on our shoulder. And, you know, Anirban definitely has that. He's a journeyman. He's played on a bunch of different tours. He's won all over the world. And, you know, a couple seasons ago, he also had a pretty serious brush with COVID when he had to go into the hospital for a little while. So nice to see him back to full fitness and starting to get some confidence in his game. We actually had him at our team dinner last week at Bay Hill. It was great to catch up with him again. And you could start to get a feel for he was having a fun evening. He was pretty relaxed. He was talking about these new irons that he was working on, where he put a bunch of extra weight on them with some lead tape, and really was excited for him to not just step up in the first three rounds, but when he got to that final round, he did not shy away at all. I mean, he played a beautiful round of golf and finished strong. He just, unfortunately for him, got beat by a better player on the day in Cam Smith.
Hey, Trevor, I'm not going to tell you what to do at Quail Hollow. I'm not going to text you messages and advice, but I do have one small thing that I'd go with. Cam Smith needs to play alt shot every match. What are your thoughts?
Give me some of your strategy behind that. Why? You're saying because he's such a good short gamer, or what are you thinking?
I'm just, you know what? You're going to have to make putts in alt shot. You got to make putts every now and again. It's nice to have him hitting about half of them, you know?
I got to say, I'll be pretty surprised if he doesn't play all five matches, Shane.
That's a fair point. All right, Trevor, we're going to get you out on this. We've had a debate today around the office and on the show. Are you a double eagle guy? Are you an albatross guy? What term do you go with?
Albatross all the way.
Okay.
It's albatross all the way.
Getting yelled at on social media.
I'm 100% with you, T. I want to leave you with one more real quick. You know, Nick Price, as you know, and Ernie, as you know, tried so hard to build this cohesion with players from different parts of the world. Where are you in that process of feeling like, you know what, I may have guys from different countries, but we're all fighting behind this shield and all pulling together as one?
Yeah, Damon, you know, those guys did do a great job. And, you know, Ernie took it one step further when he added our logo and our shield. And that's something that we're all behind now and very proud of. And I'm just trying to keep that ball moving, so to speak. We've been spending a lot of time together, getting to know a lot of the players. I'm quite fortunate in my broadcasting job to where I spend a lot of time at tournaments. So I'm able to walk the range, walk the course, hang out with these guys, get to know them and their families. And more they start feeling comfortable amongst each other, then we're not going to have to waste the majority of the week at the President's Cup starting to feel comfortable around each other. So that's definitely something that we're looking for and working on always. The other thing that's quite fun to see is organically, as these guys start to play better and better, you see them getting paired together more often at PGA Tour events. So all that extra time, those are just things that we're banking and hoping we can put to good use come President's Cup time.
All roads lead to Quail Hollow. Drive safe, by the way, T.I. It's always great to spend some time with you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, I'm on my way to pick the kids up from school, David, so it's great to chat to you guys.
Masters champ and a dad. I mean, just, you know.
Got to do both.
Got to do the honey-do list.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Love the hat, by the way. Love the hat.
Yeah.
Really, really good stuff.
Love that shield. Strong look. This is a bad drop for the captain of the international team. Might not be a strong look what we saw at 16 at the par 5. Should we take a deep dive? You know, the microphone's picking up a bit of a testy conversation.
Worth 5 minutes of your time to watch this. We'll chat about it next.
Back on Golf Today, Henrik Stenson has been named the European captain for the Ryder Cup 2023 Marco Simone Golf and Country Club in Rome, Italy. From September 29th to October 1st, the 2016 Open champ helped lead Europe to victory in 3 of 5 of his appearances as a player before serving as assistant captain in the 2020 edition of the Daniel Contest. 45-year-old becomes the first Swede to be named the European captain. The career highlights, a fantastic resume. He won the Players, he won the Open, FedEx Cup champ, twice a winner of the Race to Dubai, Olympic silver medalist in 2016, and a 5-time member, as we mentioned, of that Ryder Cup as a player. And joins a fantastic list of previous captains for Europe. Jose Maria Olazabal, Paul McGinley, who had a nice week at the Players, Darren Clark, Thomas Bjorn, and Padraig Harrington. And earlier today, Luke Donald caught up with Kira K. Dixon on the news of the day.
Luke, can you just describe your reaction when you heard that Henrik Stenson was going to be the Ryder Cup captain for Team Europe?
Well, personally, obviously, I was one of the candidates too. I had a chance to fill that role, and so I'm disappointed personally. I would have loved that honor, and hopefully that will still present its an opportunity down the road. But, happy for Henrik. I've known Henrik a long time. Great Ryder Cup record, played in 5 Ryder Cups, brings a lot of experience, and I'm sure he'll do a great job.
How would you describe him as a competitor in the Ryder Cup? And then we'll get to what you think he'll be as a captain.
We've never paired up as teammates, in fourballs or foursomes. But, on the course, he looks very stern, very kind of hides behind his glasses, quite know what he's thinking. Off the course, he's quite lighthearted. He's a little bit of a joker at heart. So I'm sure he'll bring a mixture of those characteristics to his captaincy.
Yeah, and what sort of energy do you think will be in the team room with him as captain?
Well, after the hiding we took last year, hopefully our tails will be up. We'll be up for the challenge. We certainly didn't enjoy losing to the U.S. as badly as we did. We know they're a strong team, and they'll be very strong in Rome. But I'm sure the guys will be up for it no matter what.
Thanks for the time, Luke.
All right, thanks.
Appreciate it.
All right, some recent Ryder Cup results. And before I get to these results, so Kira K. Dixon did that interview with Luke Donald. I played golf with Kira K. last week. And I haven't played a lot of golf in 2022, I got to be honest.
Yeah.
Shot of the year that I've seen so far. Kira K., par 4, fourth, 91 yards, fairway bunker, hole-out eagle. Thank you for coming.
Wow, Kira K.?
Hole-out eagle from the fairway bunker.
Miss America and a baller.
Oh, I mean, okay. Every time I play with her, she makes like 4 birdies. Those, by the way, that's the recent results.
Oh, is that what that was? Okay.
Sorry. Just ignoring what's on the screen.
We got some social media reaction. Thomas Bjorn, victorious captain for Europe back in 2018. Time to get behind the Iceman. Congratulations, Henrik, on being appointed captain. Go Team Europe. Hashtag Rome 2023. And at Ryder Cup Europe.
Sir Nick Faldo, Henrik Stenson's a great guy, one of the best dry wits around. Really a tough job on his hands as the Ryder Cup captain. Half the team will probably be the old school, the backbone, with maybe 6 unknownish rookies. I wish him and the team the best of luck. Some analysis there as well.
Speaking of the Ryder Cup, newly named U.S. captain Zach Johnson did this.
This is ridiculous.
On Saturday.
Did you see this?
This was like... Should that be a shot?
Yes.
It should be a shot, right?
You don't get to just re-peg.
This is the U.S. Ryder Cup captain.
This is the third time he's done this.
2-time major champ.
Did it the Masters.
Future World Golf Hall of Fame member.
Did it the Phoenix Open.
Sheer talent.
That's good. Now that's good. Take the penalty stroke off for that joke.
Just take a step back, Zach, away from the ball. That doesn't happen, right?
I can't believe he hit it again.
Could have hit somebody in the knee. Did he hit somebody?
I don't know if he took anybody out. Do you sign a glove if it doesn't count as a stroke?
I sure hope so. Sure hope he did sign.